Psalm 91. Well, Psalms 90 and 91 are Psalms of Moses, and this Psalm 91 is clearly addressed by Moses to Joshua. It describes how thousands of men died all around him as that generation wasted away and were killed by various judgments of God in the wilderness. There was a plague that struck by night. There was a fear all the time of being struck down by whatever form of destruction God was using to destroy that generation. Thousands fell at his side, but he himself was not touched, because God was going to preserve him. It gives a picture of the awful nature of the wilderness journey, which is not actually reflected in the Exodus record. Verse 11, he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. And yet, these words that we read here, it goes on to say, they'll bear you up in their hands so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. Well, these words are quoted by the Lord Jesus. Well, more to the point, they come to his mind whilst he is in the wilderness. And you can see the similarity. He's thinking, well, yeah, here I am in the wilderness for 40 days. Israel were 40 years in the wilderness. Well, won't God bear me up in his hands? Won't the angels bear me up in their hands? I can therefore be untouchable. I can do anything. I can jump off the top of the temple, whatever. And if you look at the verses that Jesus quotes back to himself, because I think the devil that tempts him is really his own thoughts, his own tendency to misapply scripture, he's quoting all the time. Those three passages he quotes are all from Deuteronomy and are all quite close together in Deuteronomy. So you can see how his mind was working, that he was thinking, yeah, here I am in the desert 40 days being tempted. Ah, so were Israel. This is how our mind should work too. This is the power of biblical history. Even if history is bunk, as is said, generally, it's of passing sort of cultural interest, shall I say, biblical history is not like that. Biblical history is recorded because it specifically speaks to us. God's word in that sense, and his word is largely history, if you wish to look at it in that way, is a living word. So he is seeing himself in the wilderness, and he thinks, ah, yeah. So Joshua was in the wilderness and was assured that angels would pick him up and would stop him from dashing his foot against a stone. Therefore, I can do what I want. No. And a lot of our temptations, I think, are not to just sort of steel ourselves and just go ahead and do some sin of selfishness or whatever. It's normally more subtle than that for us as believing people, that the temptation is to misuse God's grace. The temptation is to misapply scripture. It is to consider that, well, I am of God, I'm in Christ, I can do this, I can get away with it. This is exactly the sort of mentality, I think, that led David to sin in the matter of Bathsheba, murdering Uriah, and so on and so forth. And we've got to be so careful of this, because this can destroy people, and we've probably seen plenty of people destroyed by it. Well, the angel, we're told, the angels would guard you in all your ways. Now, this is the same phrase used about the cherubim, that they would guard the way to the tree of life. And the cherubim are definitely associated with angels, and so here we read that the angels would guard him in all his ways. And I think the idea is not simply that he would be given physical protection, but also that he would be spiritually preserved. Verse 12, they will bear you up in their hands so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. Now, dashing your foot against a stone is to stumble. And that is a very common figure that is used for stumbling into sin. Don't make your brother sin. Don't make your brother stumble. It's as if it's saying that, yeah, the angels will keep you so that you don't spiritually stumble. And verse 13 rather supports that. You will tread on the lion and cobra, or serpent. You will trample the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Sure, that may have referred to preservation from lions and serpents that were killing off the generation in the wilderness. And yes, Jesus in the desert may have been faced with lions and serpents, cobras, and was preserved from them. But the whole idea of treading underfoot the serpent is, of course, Genesis 3. It's the seed of the woman trampling sin underfoot. So the promise is that not only is it of physical preservation, but also of spiritual preservation. And Jesus was tempted to misuse that. Now, this is absolutely relevant to us. We are also promised that through the work of the Spirit, we will be preserved spiritually. We will be kept in Christ. This is a fairly common New Testament idea, particularly in Paul's letters, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, that we are kept unto the day of redemption. And yet we can misuse that to think, oh, well, God's going to keep me from temptation, so I can, as Jesus was tempted to, jump off a temple, I can do what I want. Because, well, somehow God's going to preserve me. God does not force people. God is not a manipulator. He is not a controller of puppets. He considers the value and the meaning of the human person to be such that He accords absolute autonomy and free will to us. And yet He will confirm. Whilst He will not manipulate, He will confirm. And this is so helpful to people like you and me, who want to be righteous, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and yet we feel that it is not in our own strength and adequacy to do that of ourselves. Because we're faced with temptation and we're weak. You know, we want to be righteous, but we're weak. That's the thing. And here this promise of the Spirit is absolutely made to us. Because although God worked like this in the Old Testament times, even more so does He work like it through the gift of the Spirit of Christ, writing His law in our hearts that we might be obedient to it under the new covenant which we've entered into. And yet we must give due weight to how these promises, even the Lord Jesus was tempted to misapply, and He overcame them by quoting God's word back to Himself. But whilst that is true, let's focus on the positive, that He will keep us. We are sealed. He wants us in His kingdom. He is not indifferent. He wants to save. He doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to stay in the way that leads to life.